Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. God bless you.
I think we're the first ones on, though. I don't think the pastor's on yet.
He's not on yet?
I haven't heard him say anything yet.
All right. Well, should I just stay on the line or what?
Yes, sir. Let's give him a few more minutes.
All right.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, sorry about that, Bishop. Had the wrong button clicked on my microphone. welcome everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight for a Tuesday night Bible study. Tonight we have a very special guest joining us. A topic tonight: God's kingdom versus Satan's kingdom. And subtopic: hell shall not prevail. And today, this evening, we have with us Bishop Earl Carter. Many of you know him from the Church of God in Christ convocation a few years ago, a couple of years ago. I preached a anointed and powerful message that upset a lot of people, sort of got him ostracized. But we thank God that here he has been standing and continuing to proclaim the gospel. Pastor Carter has been preaching for many years. He was ordained in 1969, the Church of God in Christ, been preaching all over the country, been mostly a welcome guest into most pulpits. But here recently, he's been met with opposition because of a message he preached during that convocation. And the amazing thing was, if you would see the video the night that he preached, during the message, he was well received. After the message was preached, he was well received. But then come a day or two later, everything went south on him. Well, praise
right.
God, but like any man of God, you know that if you preach the truth, the real truth, that there's going to be opposition, and certainly we stand with him and encourage him. How you doing?
Well, I appreciate
Bishop
that.
Carter?
Yeah, I'm doing great. The Lord is good. Yes, sir.
Praise God. Bishop Carter has a couple of catchphrases that you hear looking at his YouTube videos. Main catchphrase was, "It was reported to me."
Yes.
And the second catchphrase is when he would end this, when he ends his telecast, to all you wicked folks, have a bad
have.
Day.
Right.
And so those were two catchphrases that that I really enjoyed hearing him say. But question. Remember when in Matthew the 16th chapter, Jesus comes to his disciples while they were on the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And if you notice in Matthew the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 20, Jesus asks basically two questions of his disciples. First question he asks was, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men, what are the people saying about me?" It's kind of interesting that Jesus would ask his disciples this. But the reason he would ask his disciples this is because, you have to remember, his disciples were the ones who were going out and preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He had appointed them, anointed them, and sent them out two by two. And so with the preaching of the gospel, of these disciples going about into various communities preaching the gospel, they were also talking about Jesus. And so Jesus asked this question, "Who do men say that I am?" And quite naturally, he's trying to
make sure that they are telling what is right, what is the truth. And he wants to know, in trying to find out, is there a disconnect between what the people understand about me and what you understand about me? And so when Peter speaking for the other disciples, he says, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're one of the other prophets. So there was a disconnect. People didn't know really how to take Jesus, and so there was all this, these other ideas about his personage. And then he asked them, well, who do you say that I am? And so he was well pleased that they understood that he was the Son of God, Son of Man, the Messiah, the Christ. So he was well pleased in that. And he said to Peter that you are blessed. And said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. And he tells him in verse 18, says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, the gates of hell shall not be able to come against the church. But we live in 2017. And in today's time, it looks like the gates of hell are knocking on the door of the church. And it looks like that the gates of hell about to kick the door in. It reminds me of a football coach that used to coach the Houston Oilers. I forgot his name. But he was had Earl Campbell as a running back. They were almost getting, they were in the playoffs and getting to the championships, trying to get to the Super Bowl. They had gone there 3 years in a row, right at the championship, couldn't get past the championship game to get to the Super Bowl. And he made the statement, they got a little something in him. He said, last year we knocked on the door, and this year we banged on the door, and next year we're going to kick the door in. And so look at the church. It looks like Satan has been knocking on the door, and we haven't let him in. He's been banging on the door, and looks like he's about to kick the door in. So, Pastor Carter, I wanted to ask you, how did the church get to this state where we declared holiness, but we have a trouble of practicing holiness?
Well, you know, I want to compliment you on your title and your scripture. And it's a powerful scripture because it seems to be paradoxical. And as you stated, it looked like the devil is knocking and he's really pushing to get into the church. And I might add that, for instance, like Jehazi, who was the assistant to Elisha, you know, who was Elijah's assistant. And Jehazi was a unholy man in the midst of a holy man, or in the midst of holiness. So sometimes God allows infiltration into the ranks and for the scripture to be fulfilled. For instance, Judas was born with that assignment. All right? He was the son of perdition. He was born with the assignment. In other words, he was born to lose. And I want to also say that God, he uses good men, bad men, and the devil. He'll use a Pharaoh. He'll use a David. And then in 1 Corinthians 5, it says the brother that committed, let's say, adultery with his stepmother. And Paul said that there's immorality among you, not even as the Gentiles have committed, that a man should have his father's wife. And he said, for such a one, you should have judged that brother and turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his body, that his spirit might be saved. And I want to add to that, that I think that's what happened to Eddie Long, is that God judged him and took him out of here. His body was destroyed. And hopefully, if he was not a reprobate, hopefully he repented before he was taken out of here. And also, judgment must begin at the house of God. So if you don't have some internal indigenous problems, then there will be no need for judgment to begin at the house of God. So, and then here's another thing. The state of the church is that the church is in a state of apostasy. That simply means we don't believe what we used to believe. We used to believe in holiness. And I might add, Church of God in Christ was born like the Protestant movement was born, because Martin Luther was fed up with the corruption in the Catholic Church. And then Bishop Mason was, he was fed up with the corruption in the Baptist Church. And so the Church of God in Christ, as well as the Protestant movement, Protestant means protesting Catholicism. The Protestant movement was a reformational movement, and that is to get rid of corruption. And I think Bishop Mason, his church, the Church of God in Christ, was born out of that desire for reformation. But because, like Jude said, unholy men that have crept in unaware, that have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, and that is to give people a license to sin, lewd sexual lust, and a license to sin. So that's what happened. Yeah.
So we had, in other words, let me paraphrase that in my terms, we had Trojan horse members coming in on the scene.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so we open the door and let them in. And you know the story with the Trojan horse while everybody was asleep.
Yeah.
They escaped out of the Trojan horse and went in and captured the city. And so I think this is what has happened. We've slept so long that the enemy had just been able to come in and overtake us. But what is it going to take to get the church now restored or get back to the godly principles that the Lord has established for his church?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because that is my agenda. I have a holy agenda, all right? A holy agenda. Now, we oppose the homosexual agenda. If you ever read about the homosexual agenda, they have vowed to infiltrate all segments of society. And one of the last organizations that the, let's say, the homosexuals are trying to control and take over, and that is the church. And I might add, that's the last stage of a country in the state of apostasy, and that will bring on God's judgment. So now, we as a church must remember from whence we have fallen and repent and do our first works all over again. In other words, a new beginning in righteousness. And I want to give you three words that's going to help you understand this is my assignment. The first word is orthodoxy. And that is the right belief and the right praise, the right assessment, the right approbation, mental assessment of God. And, you know, God is great and God is holy, so we have to come in with the homologio, that is the same confession and the same declaration, and that is the original belief. And because of the antinomian infiltration and the in the book of Revelation talking about the Nicolaitans, they like the once in Christ and never out, and the antinomians, almost the same mentality, that you can confess Jesus and attritional salvation rather than integonine. That is to have a relationship with God, that you are reciprocal and you are responsive and compassionate about God and his nature and holiness. All right? So orthodoxy, we have to subscribe to that. And then we have to subscribe to orthopraxy, and that is the right practice. And practice makes perfect. That is worship and witnessing. I notice the church is not into witnessing because, like my mother-in-law said, she said, you go to church at your own risk now. You know, you don't know what you're going to run into. You know, she said, you're taking a chance. So we got to get back to, matter of fact, I wouldn't invite anybody to some of these churches now. It's best to leave the people alone until the church get back to orthodoxy and then orthopraxy, and that is the right worship and witnessing, all right? And then here's the other one, orthopathy, all right? Orthopathy, that is the right affection, and that is the love for God and love for people. And so that's what my assignment is, orthodoxy, orthopraxy, and orthopathy. Yes.
Okay. Well, you mentioned love for people, love for God. I think we, it's of my opinion, that the problem that we have, we don't understand love. Our society has been so focused upon lust that we equate lust with love. And when you operate
Absolutely.
In lust, you operate in lust, you don't tell the truth. You're lusting after a woman, you tell her anything that you feel that she will hear that will make her receive you and give you that which you desire. But with love,
mm-hmm.
love comes telling the truth, whether a person wants to hear it or not. Love comes to give correction. And love doesn't always make us feel good. Sometimes
Absolutely.
It corrects us. But the purpose of love is to straighten us out and get us back in line with God's word. And so I just think we talk about love, we don't even know what love is.
Absolutely.
True love
Absolutely.
Is.
You know, I think what has happened is that there's a mindset, and Bishop W.L. Porter, you know, he's Bishop Brandon Porter's father. We were tight. He was a nice, tight fellow, friend of mine, and he used to say, it sounds paradoxical, but it does make sense when you think about it. He said, that some people have the wrong misunderstanding. You know, yeah. He said, Dr. Carter, he said, that some folk have the wrong misunderstanding. And we used to laugh about that. But then I kept thinking about it. He's right, because there's some things you have to understand. You have to understand what love is. And I think that because people have said that God is love, and we think love is just one-sided. But along with love comes correction and judgment. And watch this. He said, Esau, I hate,
mm-hmm.
but Jacob, I love. And then there's seven things the Lord hates. All right? There's some things God hates. So when I preached in 2014, it was not out of hatred. It was out of love. And the word I use religiously or repetitiously is scandalizo, and that means to offend. And the gospel, the Evangelion, it is sometimes offensive. But here's the connotation, here's the real kerygma of it, is that if I know you are heading toward a cliff, I must love you enough to run you down and wrestle you, and even to the point of bruising you, to keep you from going over the side. Now, that's the definition of love, yeah, to me, yeah.
Yes, and I agree with that. One of the other things you mentioned is repentance. Right? We look, you know, in our society, in our churches, we just say, what, Lord, forgive me, and go on about our business and say that we have repented. But when we really look in the scripture, and I guess Zacchaeus gave us the best example of repentance. His repentance was that he wanted to provide restoration. Not only his sin, but he wanted to provide restoration. And so what we have in today's society, we just repent with our mouth, but we're not willing to provide restoration and restitution in order to make things right. And so we just say it with our mouth, but there is no action behind our repentance.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up. Bishop Paul Morton, whom I've known for forever, I used to preach for his brother, and he used to sing and play the organ before I would preach. That's going way back. Anyway, he said about Eddie Long, and he said, man, you have to, according to, let's say, Luke 17, you know, if you sin, then you ask God to forgive you, or you ask me if you sin against me or whatever, but you have to confess that what you've done is wrong. And just to say, Lord, I'm sorry, with the recidivism, that is repeating and doing the same sin over and over and over and over again, that's not real repentance. You see, I think it's manipulation. And I think David said, Lord, deliver me from presumptuous sins. And that is sins that I commit that I just take for granted that God's going to forgive me. But everybody have to understand that repentance is metanoia. Repentance is changing your mind and your direction. And I want to give you another word. That word is epistrepho. It means that you turn from darkness to light and you renounce what you have done. You know, David is a good example of real repentance and epistrepho. You know, he said, I've sinned. You know, he denounced what he did. He committed adultery and also murder, sent a man to the front line to be killed, and took that man's wife. You know, the ewe lamb, he had seven. He took the one ewe lamb from the brother, you know. So here we go. Epistrepho, you have to denounce what you've done. You have to turn. That word epistrepho means to turn from the errors of your ways. And that's James 5:20. I don't hear nobody talking about that. You know, we just tell them, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Are you really sorry? Are you really sorry enough to change your mind and your direction? And one of the, I think Bishop Morton said, the fruit of repentance is that you got to show me that you have renounced what you've done. All right? You cannot be happy about what you've done and think it's all right and plan to do it again. That's not repentance. Repentance is metanoia. It has to do with turning, changing your mind, and your direction. All right? Mm-hmm. And when you repent, believe me, you will come with fruits of repentance. You'll have a different concept. You won't repeat that sin. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's what's missing. Yeah.
Okay. I often tell members that one of the problems we have is with repentance is, I guess, the way we were raised. You know, we get into it with our brothers or sisters, and the parents do what? Tell us what? Make us say you're sorry.
Right.
Force us into saying we're sorry. And to,
right.
just to keep from getting in further trouble, we go ahead and say we're sorry, but a lot of times we're not. And so I think
right.
we carry that over to our spiritual life where we are saying we're sorry, but we're not really sorry about it. Because if we were really sorry,
right.
we would take inventory and try to break those yokes and habits that do have us bound.
Right. But I think you use the operative word there, sorry, all right? Regret. Lamentation, you know, you are in lamentation, you're lamenting, and you're regretting that you've done it. Now, watch what David said now in Psalms 51. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Man, he's talking. Blot out my transgression, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Then he says, in the fifth verse, for I acknowledge my transgression. See? That's what Paul Martin was saying. And my sin is always before me. Then he said, against you, and you only have I sinned, and have done this evil in your sight. We're talking about I made a mistake. You know, oh, I just made a mistake. What you talking about? You sinned. You meant to do it. It was premeditated. All right? And then he said that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. In other words, when you judge me, you judging me right, that I have done evil in your sight. And behold, I was brought forth. Then he go to talking about how he was born that way. That's a good discussion. I heard a young preacher preached about it Sunday. He was really good. And, you know, the homosexuals are saying, I was born that way. You know what I'm going to say about that? All right. Tadpoles can't jump. And worms can't fly. The tadpole was born right. that way.
But he doesn't stay that way.
Yeah.
That's right. That's, but he
all
doesn't
right.
stay
but
that way.
The metamorphosis. Yeah, but he couldn't. He was born that way. I can't wait to do it on my program. He was born that way. You know, the tadpole cannot jump. He can. He's suffering from inertia. He need outside help. He need transformation. All right. So he, you know, I like the idea. The young man brought
that's,
it out.
That's
so,
a good
yeah,
analogy.
We were born that. Huh?
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Yeah, I added that to it, and. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Then he talks about Jacob, how Jacob, you know, as far as his mother and father, you know, Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister, and then, of course, Rebecca, she orchestrated a lie. And so it was hereditary as well as environmental. All right, so you... He said that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin. My mother conceived. We were born that way. All right. Behold, you desire truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make, all right, make me to know wisdom. Then he said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Then he said, create in me. That's it right there, the metamorphosis. The inside, create in me a clean heart. Heart means spirit, soul, and body. It's the trichotomy, all right? Spirit, soul, and body. Oh, God, renew a steadfast spirit. Don't let me do it again within me. And do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit. See, you need the help. You need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit from me. Then restore to me the joy of your salvation. Now, like I said, I'm going to have a discussion with the homosexuals. I'm going to say, you know, you're right. You were born that way. Now, I was born with a propensity for violence. I was born in an environment where my father was a knife carrying, stabbing people. I saw him cut a man up with a knife. I was born in an environment where my brother and I, we grew up carrying guns and robbing people. I've been to jail 13 different times, all right? I was born with the propensity to rob and to steal and to hurt people. I love to hit folk with a 2x4. I just love to see when they fall to the ground and their eyes lapped in the back of their head. I love that, all right? But I can't keep doing that and say I was born that way. Well, you're going to jail that way, all right? You're going to spend the rest of your life in jail for violence. So salvation is to deliver you from that animalistic propensity to do wrong. All right? So if everybody took the same attitude of the homosexuals, and now they're trying to say that you cannot change. That's a lie. The tadpole turned into a frog. Is that right?
And the worm
crawled into the cocoon, and that metamorphosis happened, and the worm turned into a butterfly. So I'm going to argue that point. And they cannot make excuses for being a homosexual. Look what happened to Eddie Long. That's a sad story. This man had success. He was on top. I mean, 25,000 members, but I think because he got under that influence of Jakelin, where Jakes was teaching them how to get in touch with their effeminate side. And then 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 says, the effeminate's going to hell. Why are you going to put me in touch with the effeminate side and I'm supposed to be a masculine man? Get out of here. You know, you got to watch who you hang around. You show me your company, and I'll show you what kind of person you are. Show me your friends.
Yes.
Show me your friends, and I'll tell you what kind of person you are. Yeah.
And it gets back, and I think we have come more concerned about legality and legal issues than we are concerned about being ethical. And so we will holler
yes.
what's legal rather than be concerned about doing that which is ethical.
I like your questions. You're very good. Well, here's another example. They have you remember prohibition. There was a law against alcohol, and now it's legal. Do you know you can drink yourself to death?
Yeah. And say now say you have a disease. You caught a disease out the bottle.
There you go. Do you know it's legal to drink? And then now they're working on legalizing marijuana in some cities and some areas. It's legal. And first time I smoked marijuana, I'm going to tell you what happened to me. When I smoked marijuana, my whole character changed. I remember I was in this room smoking, and I got high. And a young man that was in the room with me, he saw some ashes on my lapel of my suit, my coat. And he thought he was doing something, nice to brush it off. And I said, wait a minute. What why did you touch my coat? And he said, well, I saw the ashes on it, and I thought I'd brush it off for you. I said, what do you have to do with my coat? And I just wouldn't let it go. That marijuana changed my whole personality. Now, normally, I would say, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. But I made something out of nothing, and I wouldn't let it go. The man said, I'm sorry. I said, no, you're not sorry. Why did you touch my coat? Well, I know cannot. Huh?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I said, now, what I'm saying, that's a hallucinational situation for me, is that I cannot smoke no marijuana. I cannot do that. But it's going to be legal. Can you imagine how many people that have the same propensity to have their personality change like mine did, you know?
Yeah.
So just because it's legal, that don't mean it's right. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make everybody mellow. It makes some agitated.
Yeah. It made me agitated, and it made me violent. I wanted to hurt the young man. For what? He was just brushing the ashes off my lapel. You know?
All right, Dr. Carter, I want to look at a scripture. Well, basically two scriptures. Well, really look at one. That used to be the church's favorite scripture. And you would hear this. You would always hear it preached several times a year. And that was 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. It's not But today's society favorite scripture is, you can ask anything in my name.
Right.
We go back to the old favorite scripture, 2 Chronicles 7, 14.
Yes. Very familiar with that.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I
there
hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Why is it that working today?
Well, because it is anti-flesh. Anything is anti-flesh now. It is not celebrated. And I'm glad you brought this up, because, you know, Jesus said, well, there's two or three gathered together, and if they touch and agree, and that's all about that orthodoxy and orthopraxy and orthopathy, and like I said, the homologio, the same profession and also declaration, and then homophon, having the same mind, all right? And then homothumadon, that is when you are part of, believe in, participating with, and a partaker of the total operation. You notice people don't get healed like they used to. I mean, when Bishop Mason was around, you know, crutches was all on the wall. Now you go to church, you better make sure you're not sick, because you're going to leave sick. Because there's no homophon, no homothumadon, because this one believe in that doctrine. That one believe in another doctrine. Some of them believe, you know, you got to be holy. Some of them believe, well, just ask God to forgive you. Just keep on going the way you're going. And some people believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Some people say, well, you don't have to speak. I mean, we're just so divided. And not only that, but this superintendent don't like the other superintendent. This bishop hate the other bishop because he split his state. And this one. I mean, you know, you used to be coming together in unity. And God, I preached a message one time, when the room is right, then miracles can happen. They were with one accord. They were with, Jesus being in the midst of them. Jesus don't show up at these places. All right, they are sensual, but not spiritual. Jesus don't show up to every church, because they're not qualified for him. Because he said, where there's two or three gathered together, and if they touch and agree, that's the word, homothumadon, that's the word, agree. And when you're coming together, all right, as one, all right, that's that synergy, coming together as one, and then having the same mind and machination, whatever I'm not, you are. And, you know, this kind of coming together. Like when I got saved, man, the church was on fire. The saints, I mean, fornication, adultery, it wasn't even mentioned among us. You know, and that's 1 Corinthians 5:3. It said these things shouldn't even be named among us. Now we got whoremongers in the pulpit. We got sissies up there switching and singing and, oh, get out. I mean, this is crazy. Like my mother-in-law said, you go to church at your own risk, you know, taking a chance, you know. So, this is a mess, I'm telling you. So every
in
now and then, like, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
I mean to
I
cut
was just
off.
Saying that, no, that's good what you said about if my people, which are called by my name, watch this, will humble themselves, and that means to be teachable. You know, in order to be compatible with any, in any relationship, you need to do this. You need to be teachable and adaptable, and then that makes you compatible. God is not compatible with rebellion, all right? God is not compatible with disobedience, and that's the word I use about worship. Proskuneo means every act of obedience is worship. Not jumping and shouting, that's tehillah. That's demonstrative, you know, worship, you know. And you can do all that shouting. The sisters shout more than anybody I've ever seen in my life. They can shout, you understand? But there's no liturgical paradigm where the posture and action of your body coincide with the condition of your heart in synergy with God. You understand? So if my people, that's a proposition right there, if my people, which are called by my name, those who are peculiar, strange, odd, different, special, unique, and private property, and not common, but born again, filled with the Spirit, and having a lofty idea of what is ideal, and not low living, low life, but the kind of life that makes you metaphorically like an eagle, and you can fly, all right? So when we talk about the church, man, I remember when I thank God for Bishop O.T. Jones and his father, and those guys were mentoring, anchoring personalities for me. And they set a two-pause, which is an example, a model of what Christianity should be. And they set the example. But ever since Bishop Jones and O.T. and his father died, the church has been going down ever since. You know? You got Bishop J.O. Patterson, who had a baby out of wedlock, and the boy is still around here, you know, feeling hurt because his daddy didn't leave him nothing. I'm going to do a program on him, too. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I know you mentioned Bishop O.T. Jones, Jr., ain't it? And it always had troubled me walking down the hall of Cook Convention Center. He didn't know me, and we were coming, facing each other, coming from different directions. And he grabbed me by the arm one year. He said, young man, you need to get out of this mess because they're gone crazy. I really didn't know how to.
You mean he told you that?
I take it.
Bishop told
you
that?
Yeah, he told me that. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I really
goodness.
Didn't know how to take it. And that was way before he had health issues. And when he
right.
was strong mentally as well as physically.
Right.
But in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it also tells us that we are to turn from our wicked ways.
There you go. That's it.
Now, is silence wicked?
Is what wicked?
Silence, not saying anything.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Because the Bible says, cry loud and spare not.
Spare
and
the
I
homosexual.
I preached a message one. No, spare not. Don't spare nobody.
Spare the adulterer.
No, nobody. Nobody. Nobody safe. That's what I say. Nobody safe. Cry loud and spare not. And see, silence is consent. Oh, my goodness. Did I just say that? Silence.
Yes. Yeah.
Is consent. And like I said, I preached a message one time, the sin of doing nothing. You know, you don't have to be a whoremonger, a homosexual, a liar, nothing. The man that had his talent, that buried his talent and didn't do anything, he went to hell for doing nothing. So I would be derelict of responsibility if I didn't preach what God told me to preach, because I want to be in the good favor of man. I don't care about that. I want to please God. And you're going to suffer now. I've suffered for 2 years, going on 3, but I'm coming out. The Lord is good. Yeah.
So yes, we've thrown that badge that we had 1 year and said, I won't be silent anymore. We taking that and tossed it away.
Yeah, I remember that. Bishop Patterson, J.O. said he won't be silent anymore. Well, I'm going to remind him. He probably somewhere in heaven or hell. When I start exposing him, I'm going to say, I won't be silent anymore. That's right. Yeah.
I know you made the statement earlier that about Jesus coming to not coming to our churches. But I probably feel that if Jesus came to some of our churches, we would flee. Be like when he came in to the temple and the money changers.
Right. Right.
He'd probably run himself out of there.
And that's right. So, and that's that militancy. See, people don't understand. They paint Jesus, you know, in Luke 12. He said, I didn't come for peace. I come for war. You know, even though it's paradoxical, because he said he's the Prince of Peace. It's just like the peace officer, the police. Now, he wants to keep the peace, but you try to create some problems, see if you don't get shot, all right? All right? So Jesus is saying, you know, that I didn't come for peace, I come for war. Then he even said he'd come to turn the father against the son and the daughter against the mother and all of that, because he wants to be the center of your attention, because he's God, as far as anthropomorphically, he's God in the flesh. So, you know, he's really representing God. So you don't put nobody before God. You got to love, that's what Magic Johnson got to learn, that you got to love God more than you love mother, father, sister, and brother, houses and land, and even your children. Or you're not worthy of him. All right? So he's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. And so I really believe you're right. If Jesus were to come to our churches now, he would turn over the tables and knock the deacon out, go in his pocket, and get the money that he done stole. I believe he would. I believe Jesus would come in with a taser. All right? I believe he would tase everybody. All right? And run them out of the church. He called them, you hypocrites, vipers, and snakes. Jesus, I mean, the Prince of Peace, coming into the church, running people out, especially the sissies. I think he'd Dewey Smith. I believe Jesus would come into the choir and run them all out, switching. And Charles Blake, Charletta, Edwina. All right? I believe Jesus runs Charletta out, all right? I believe he would do it. And some of all them sissies come to the Church of God in Christ. You know, somebody said that the Church of God in Christ should call it a gay convention instead of a holy convocation, because it has been infested with homosexuals. And the reason why they keep coming, because Charletta his reputation, and plus he's homosexual friendly because of Magic Johnson and his son. How are you going to be part of a holy Pentecostal reformational church and you won't rebuke your Magic Johnson son that is a blazing, proflagrant, worldwide known, pump-wearing, mascara, lipstick, dress-wearing. Now he's wearing a wig and want to have a sex change. And I want Magic to know that you don't love your son, because open rebuke is better than secret love. You have to rebuke him if you love him. You got to love God
yeah.
more than you love your son.
Yeah,
you know?
I noticed that a few years ago yeah. when he had the big controversy at his church. He was inviting, Peter Gomes' church.
Yes.
To preach, and a lot of the members there were upset. I used to be on this Yahoo groups. It used to be Church of God in Christ Yahoo groups. And there were a lot of brothers who were from West Angeles. They were petitioning Bishop Blake not to bring the man in because the man advocated homosexuality.
Right.
And he went against his own members' wishes about bringing this man in. And he was saying, well, he didn't know if he was homosexual, but the man was declaring that he was a homosexual.
Yeah, I can't even not know. That's another thing. That's another thing. These folk tell lies. Like Eddie Long told, he lied until the end. Never told the truth. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think 125, because there's a guy named Ed Williams. He was on my program, and he testified that he was there, and he told Bishop Blake, he asked him, he said, do you know who you got coming in your pulpit? He said, oh, yeah, I know. He said, don't you know that man is a homosexual advocate? He's an advocate for homosexuality? Oh. And then he told Williams, him and his wife come in the office the next day and told them, you're no longer welcome in this church. So why? Well, you question my authority. Now, why is it that you want to invite a stone homosexual? Now, first of all, you go to Harvard, and you ought to know that on that campus, everybody knows that man was an advocate for the gay lesbian movement, the LGBT, all right? And then when they went to the restaurant, Cross that testified, they was at a restaurant, and Gomes came in. They had a discussion about homosexuality, and Cross was vehement about, well, we don't have any homosexuals, which I don't know if Cross blind or not, but anyway. He said, we don't have no homosexuals. He said, and Gomes said, I know you got one. He said, well, who is that? Now, I got witnesses. Cross have witnesses that was sitting around the table. All right, I got it in my deposition. I got letters and stuff. That's why he don't want to go to court, because I got him. All right, they're trying to get out of it because they know I got it. So anyway, Gomes said, I know you got one. And Cross said, well, who's that? He said, Charles Blake. How you know he's homosexual? He said, because I had sex with him. Good God from Zion. So that's why he allowed that man to come to his church. And Charles Blake Church was built on homosexuals, because they all came from Rudy Taylor's church. I know the history. I preached for them way back then, because they had a lot of sissies then, but I was too broke to say anything. I had to get my offering, you know. I'm just being honest. I had to. And then at that time, we'd say, you know, leave folks alone, because I was a little wicked myself, you know. And so we just left them alone. But, you know, I saw nothing but sissies everywhere. Some of them were sitting up like they had brassieres on. You know how they stick their chest out?
Yeah.
You know, when they're driving and stuff like that, you know.
Let me ask you this question. And I thank you for
staying on as long as you have with us tonight. And
all right.
Eventually I'm going to broadcast this discussion on shortwave radio, WBCQ.
Good.
Let me ask you this question. Are you open to going back to Kojic? You know, in the past, others have been put out.
No. Matter of fact, I have.
Even if a new design should come.
What I've done, I've taken on the spirit of Reformation, and the 7,000 Club is now, we are, let's say, we have been incorporated, and I have my own 501c3 and all of that, and I want to recruit young men, pastors. Matter of fact, we are recruiting them, and they need mentoring. And I want to be a father to them, and that's what I'm doing. So I'm gone. I've shaken the – you know, they put me out anyhow. You know, as long as this man is the presiding bishop, you know, they didn't want me to come into that General Assembly because they knew I was going to turn it out. And, you know, they knew that. So
G.E. Patterson, he left. He came back a bishop, and – Jesse
Ellis,
he got put out. He came back a general, so.
Yeah,
you got
a general
put out.
That nobody maybe, know about.
Maybe you can come back as an admiral. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. But I don't think so. Once I'm the kind of person that once I shake the dust off my, as old folks say, off my footsies, I'm gone, you know. Yeah, I'm gone. I don't have time. Because you got some other guys in there that's messed up too. And I've been putting him out, Jerry Macklin, he's messed up. And got two babies out of wedlock, raped a little girl, 15 years old. I ain't got time for that. No, I don't have no time for that. And Brooks is a crook. He's a crook. Brooks is a crook.
Well, not this Brooks.
Oh, well, no, not you. I'm sorry. Not this one, Saints. Not this one. This one is straight. I'm talking about the other Brooks, all right?
All right. Well, Dr. Carter, he has written several books, Sin Makes You Stupid. There's the latest one, and one, I forgot the title of it, about the barnyard. What was the name of that book?
Yeah, the people need to get that book. That book is something else. Well, all of it, there's something else, but dealing with the family. Trouble in the Barnyard, Henpeck Husband, Roosterpeck Wife. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, my first book was No Apology Necessary. Next month, you're going to hear a lot about that. And then Sin Makes You Stupid, and also The Heifer and the Horsefly. And then the other is Theology of the Limp. And then, of course, I'm gonna write about all this I'm doing now. That's going to be a book eventually. Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, I love to write. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. So, again, we thank you for being with us and sharing. And you even went further to spend more time with us than you thought you could. Originally, and
yes.
Again, I appreciate
that. You're a good host. You're really smart. You got good questions. I appreciate that. Yeah.
And I don't want to belabor your time too much, but go to www.earlcarterministries.com. You can order the books. You can order the T-shirt. And what's on the front of the T-shirt, Bishop?
Yeah, it was reported.
And also, there's a link where you can donate to the ministry. And he would certainly
appreciate it. Yes. Absolutely.
And before you go, it's a sad day when the preacher is told what to preach and how to preach it. I remember I came into the Church of God in Christ in 1981.
And then Bishop J.O. Patterson had his revival team going from city to city.
Uh-huh.
And he's back home in Memphis. And on that Monday, went down there, and it was in daytime. Mother Maddie Moss Clark and S.E. Mitchell were preaching the noonday service, and I decided to give my life to Christ and
went
into the church.
All right.
And you think about it, Elder S.E. Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
He would preach about anything.
Oh, yeah.
And
nothing.
Nobody would say anything, but now.
No.
You preach the truth, and you get ostracized and assassinated in the church. And so it's a sad thing now that.
Yeah, it is.
Tell the truth. It's very sad.
We have to
stick with the messages that will tickle the ear, please the heart,
right,
and not show people their sins. But as you quoted scripture earlier, God was telling the prophet, "Show my people what their transgression."
That's right.
And the house of Jacob their sin. In other words, God, if you never see your sin, you'll think you're all right, and there's no need for repentance.
That's it. But all of us, we
were born in sin.
And that preacher is insidious. He's more dangerous than you think. He is. That's right. And Isaiah 30, the people say, "Don't tell us the truth." He says, "Speak to us lies," and that's what they're doing. And I'm not going to go. I can't go that way. I cannot go that way. Yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
and I think about Jeremiah, and when he preached, they threw him out. But they told him before they threw him out, "Yeah, you told the truth, but we're not going to listen to it."
They agreed that he was telling the truth. You preached the truth, but you got to go.
All right.
I mean, they put me out two times. Put me out. Well, I'm in good company. All right. I'm in good company. Yeah.
Well, we're
going
to pray for you and hope that the fellowship takes off and that becomes a success and that you continue to preach God's word without hindrance.
Got to do it.
May God
bless
you, your wife, your children, and your church there in Orlando. Haven't been to Orlando in a long time. But it's about time for me to get back there, have grandchildren, I think 9 and 4. So it's about time for me to take them to Disney World.
Yeah, Disney. That's right. Well, when you do come, give us a call and we'll take you out for lunch or something. All right.
All right then.
Well, God bless you, man. God bless you.
God bless you. Take care.
All right, sir. God bless you. Bye-bye. All right.
Well, thank God, Saints. We thank God for Bishop Errol Carter taking the time to come and to share with us and give us insight as to a little bit insight as to what's happening with him, and also expounding on the scripture. We see that we have a lot of issues in the world, in the churches, and it's not just related to one denomination, it's church world in general. And when I was saying the church, I wasn't talking about one denomination, I was talking about the church world in general. We have a problem, and we need to correct the problem and get our lives back into the will of God. Praise God, and thank God for you holding on. Thank God for you. I didn't open it for any questions. Really, interview went a little longer than I thought. He had initially said he could only stay for about 35 to 45 minutes, but you see he stayed here well over an hour, and so appreciate that.
Praise God. Anybody else have any questions tonight dealing with the subject or the scripture that we were dealing with in Matthew 16 and 2 Chronicles 7? Praise God. Nobody has anything? And we thank God for you, Sister Cooper. Thank God for Mother Brooks. Thank God for Sister Dixon. Look like that's Delmetria's number. And thank God for all of you who have been holding on. Praise God. Had a little trouble tonight with my setup. Everything was on, but I just didn't have my microphone open. And so that's why you could not hear me. I was calling everybody's name. Nobody was really able to hear me. Thank you, Frederick. Frederick Brooks. He's been on all night. He's been able to hold on. We thank you. And thank God for all of God's people. Praise God. Since no one has anything else tonight, we want to say God bless you. We're going to have a word of prayer. Again, eventually we'll be broadcasting on shortwave radio, WBCQ, shortwave. One of my hobbies, you know, is ham radio and shortwave travels around the world. And so we will be broadcasting on some shortwave frequencies at night on radio station WBCQ The Planet. And so we thank God for opening even that door. And this will be one of the things that we will broadcast, this discussion we had tonight with Bishop Carter out of Orlando, Florida. Somebody was saying something. Okay, maybe that was background noise. Sister Cooper, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Thank you. Anything we need to discuss? Oh, you said the third Sunday, since I called your name. Third Sunday, we will be having Philippew Day. And I want everyone to encourage friends, family, and even enemies to come out and be with us the third Sunday morning. And we want to be a blessing on that day. Come, let's fill up the church. Let's invite others. And let's have a great time fellowshipping in the Lord. Sister Dixon, God bless you. And thank you. And thank you, Mother Brooks, and thank all of God's people. I see one number I'm not familiar with. Whose number is 406-8404?
It's Mike
White. Okay, it's Mike. Okay, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
And praise God. And how is Michael tonight?
He's doing fine. He's asleep right now, so he couldn't tune in.
All right. Well, I thank God that you joined us tonight. And I'm about ready to get in that same position that he's in. Ready to. Okay. I'm ready to get in that horizontal position myself. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity tonight. We thank you for blessing us to come together as we have discussed your word tonight. Dear Lord, I pray healing. I pray blessings on God's people. I ask that you would touch each and every soul that's in this line tonight. Dear Lord, I ask that you bless their homes, bless their families. We ask that you continue to protect them, keep them from hurt, harm, and danger. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you have your way. Dear Lord, we pray that you would send strength where strength is needed. We pray that you would send healing where healing is needed. We pray that you would send deliverance where deliverance is needed. Lord, meet the need of your people on this night. We thank you. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. And we just say hallelujah one more time. Bless us as we sleep tonight. Allow us to wake up and see tomorrow and give you praise. Thank you, dear Lord, for being there for us. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you. Bless us. Bless our walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. Amen. Praise God for everybody. All right, Sister Cliff, I'm going to call you in a few minutes.
All right.
Okay. Good night.
Okay.
It's about we're doing good. About time for a war cry, though, I think. You know I don't go nowhere unless I do the war. We need 1 minute to just kind of change the atmosphere. Just. You got me there? Oh, 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 oh. Make sure you're not sitting next to somebody who's defeated. God given him victory and good success. We're coming against any enemy that will come against him. Oh, 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 oh. I think you ought to get your feet ready. Oh!